in talking about our monastic life here, I do think it's important to constantly reflect on why we're doing the things we do and how it relates to being summoners. Again, a bit in the theme that rather than dividing, say, work time and play time, also, and then not dividing work time and our, you could call it practice, or our lives as monastics, because we never leave that behind, or we shouldn't be leaving that behind, even for a brief moment. It's a constant path, and a full-time path of practice. In this Ajahn Chah tradition, as we approach the 20 years of his passing, I think there will be and there should be lots of reflection on what does it mean to be part of this Ajahn Chah tradition, or what exactly is it, or what are the defining characteristics, some of them, and how do we honor those, or how do we walk in the footsteps if we feel this is a great teacher, this is a path which leads to liberation. Well, what are we doing and how are we doing it in order to do that? So yesterday I was just doing some cleaning with somebody who had just arrived, and he was commenting on how, gosh, this is very much, the atmosphere here is very much like the Zen center, Tassajara in California, where this person had stayed or been working. And so I was saying, yes, actually, that's quite a common comment that people have always made about Ajahn Chah, whether it's his actual teachings, his aphorisms, he was like a Zen master, or the way we do the monastery, sort of mindfulness in daily life, all four postures. As I was saying that, I pushed my hand over the table and smashed a glass, by the way. So it's a it's an actually worse than that, it was the big cafetiere. So just before the Krubajans arrived, we're one down on the 8-cup espresso machine. But never mind. Because as well as mindfulness, it's letting go. I said, no, that was already broken. So it is that idea then, the idea of what makes us practicing is that we keep that going, that spirit, in all four postures at all times. Then as a little theme then, something to come back to constantly and to remind ourselves of, I think, particularly in this kind of time, when we're, in one sense, putting forth a lot of effort. Like, it's not easy to both do the physical side of things. We're talking about oil and sort of, you know, practical things and fixing things and plumbing systems and that side of things, as well as our monastic, the wattas, the duties, like bindabhata and the way we have our meal and the wise reflection and all our monastic duties, as well as at times things like the sanghakammas and other activities that we do, which are very specific to the bhikkhu's rules, as well as our devotional activities. And then also making sure then that, for example, with our speech, it's very, very easy for that aspect of the less meditative side, if we're working and doing this and that, and somebody wants to do it one way and somebody wants to do it another way, you know, speech can become loose or casual or loud or whatever. And so just as a reminder then, that I feel as long as we're bearing in mind the principles of what we call right effort, then we can put forth effort in these external ways. And we can do these things, and we can even make mistakes like smashing the glass. And it really is all practice. So as a reminder then, whatever we're doing the external side of life, the effort and what makes us, I would say what defines us as summoners, and this applies very much to the lay people as well, is whether we have the right view, starting with, okay, given that we have the right view around the Four Noble Truths, but very much a right view regarding effort and right effort, knowing what is right effort and focusing on that on the mental level. So this is four aspects which in a sense can be, you know, sort of form two pairs, but it's the effort to avoid unwholesome states of mind that have arisen. And this we have as part of our daily life anyway, our reflections, our kind of chanting and the kind of, you know, Dhamma we read, but also in the way we speak and the way we plan our day, and the effort then to abandon pahana, to abandon arisen, unwholesome mental states. So keeping in mind as we go through our day, knowing, well, what is unwholesome? Bit of negativity, bit of annoyance or jealousy it could be, or like frustration or sense desire. And just knowing, just keeping in mind as I go through my day, I'll abandon that. I'll just keep on abandoning it. It's not, you know, so we don't, the thing not to abandon is that the practice, but we can keep abandoning these unwholesome states as we clean, as we, you know, decide how to fix a broken, whatever, water heater. And then there's the effort to cultivate wholesome states. As we go about our business, cultivate wholesome states. That's mind of renunciation, letting go, all the spiritual factors, faith, energy, mindfulness, samadhi, panya. We can cultivate these wholesome states as we go about our business. And then, of course, the effort to maintain, because we have these states arisen at times, and just to various degrees. How are we going to maintain them in the face of the challenges of life? And so this is, I think, the thing, in a sense, of like a theme then, to bear in mind as a pair, is to put forth effort in the external sense, as well as putting forth effort in the internal sense. And the Ajahn Chah, as I have seen it and grown up in it over the last few years, over 10 years, and, you know, listened to talks and really thought about it, at the heart of it is this idea of the constant application. That's very important. It's the constancy. It's not something which we can kind of turn on and turn off and say, like, today I'll have a day of effort and tomorrow I won't so much, I'll have a rest, or today I'll really, you know, bear in mind right effort with regard my mind, but tomorrow doesn't, you know, then to kind of ignore it for a while. And so even to, you know, bring in some specifics, you know, why, for example, right now we're still keeping something like the evening meetings. What's the point where we could all have a break? It's that somehow that was the Ajahn Chah idea, was that unless you really can't do it, we're going the extra way to keep up these practices. There's this external right effort, the constant application, and the internal right effort regarding the mind. Last night we arrived at Wat Bopong at 7:35, and Lung Po Lien was working somewhere, cleaning some leaves and burning off some leaves. And so it's not that everybody has to be like him, but it's just an example, just always something to bear in mind, to say, if we're working and we're doing 3 or 4 hours work, that, you know, compared to other people, it's not very much. And also, just to sort of share that, it's such an inspiring thing. Somebody who could just be completely sitting down all day, receiving guests, or going here and there, being a sort of, you know, famous figure, or living in a very comfortable life, just simply wants to keep the monastery clean. And as he talked, we discussed an issue. We had this problem with some of the village kids. His solution, the way to teach the village kids, is to give them activity, and more importantly, he said, to lead them, to be the example for them. So this is a sort of, again, bring up the theme that this thing of being together, doing something side by side, with the seniors being examples to the juniors learning from the seniors and even showing them new things. It's how growth occurs. Sort of rubbing each other, rubbing off each other, wholesome things, rather than, you know, encouraging each other in the unwholesome way. So I've said plenty for today, just a theme then of right effort, continued, sustained application externally. I think we have a lot more in our reserves than we would believe. There's so much there that the human mind and body is capable of with the right inspiration, and then the right effort internally, effort with regarding unwholesome states and regarding wholesome states. So encourage everybody for today and onwards.